Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Still to come in the next hour of the programme, Donald Trump arriving in Saudi Arabia in his first visit to the region. We'll get the latest on his agenda. A cancer doctor argues that the health system can't afford to delay plans to introduce alcohol warning labels on bottles. And we meet the former BBC correspondent who gave it all up to run an off-grid eco-tourism venture in Portugal. That's all on the way. Now, though, many people find it difficult to say no, whether that's in personal relationships or at work. But learning to set boundaries is a vital skill, and without it, tasks can quickly pile up and you may risk being seen as a pushover. So how can you say no effectively, and when should you say no? Well, I'm joined in the studio by Patricia Murray, a workplace psychologist formerly with the Health and Safety Authority. Patricia, lovely to have you with us. I'm glad that you said yes to the invitation to come in. It's a fraught area of office politics though, isn't it? People struggling with how to say no and not wanting to look like they don't want to be helpful or don't want to do their job.
Exactly. I mean, it's the word is loaded from childhood, if you think of it, the no of the parent. So in psychoanalytic terms, I suppose, it's a very loaded word and it means the negative mandate. So I think the first thing I'd say to people who are trying to decline something is to avoid using the word no. Now, obviously, in the certain workplace circumstances, as we know from, say, the Harrods or other kind of sexual harassment and terrible workplace behaviours, that's just a straight no. Mm-hmm. And that's straight to HR. So those things aside, I'm saying, in more subtle situations where someone has asked something they want to decline, it's a good tactic to not use the word no, to say something else. And another good tactic is to kind of reframe it. So someone is asking you, an example, someone says, can you take the lead on the meeting tomorrow at 2? You don't want to take the lead. You don't think you should take the lead. There are people there. So a good thing is to reframe it and say, OK, well, I didn't organise the meeting. I think Miranda did, or I think Bill did. And I think they'd like to lead. It's not really my role, but I can surely help out. So maybe when you get someone to take the lead, if you then get them to email me and I can give them a few pointers. So you're kind of changing it and reframing it.
And
a
you
bit.
Haven't said the word no.
You haven't
there
said the
either.
Word no, yeah.
But you need to, and I know this is some advice that you have as well, you need to figure out yourself why you're saying no.
Yeah, this is again looking at it with a psychoanalytic frame. I mean, I encourage this of people, and you've got people who just don't want to do any self-reflection and they're not interested. And some of your listeners now will already be saying, oh, well, I'm saying no because I'm too busy. Really ask yourself why you're saying no, because a lot of us are saying no for reasons that we don't admit to. We're saying no because we don't like the person who asked us, or because it's Monday or it's Friday, or we had a terrible sandwich at lunchtime. So we're saying no based on our own mood, and no one's going to report that, and they don't really know it. So I'd say to listeners, ask yourself first, why are you always saying no to certain requests? And then maybe jot down a few things that you think might be honest, and then don't believe yourself. Ask yourself again.
Right. So you'd need to stop and think.
Yeah, maybe ask a few other people. Have you noticed anything about me when Bill asks me, or when, because I seem to not. Yeah, I do notice you always say no to Bill. But if Mary asked you, you'd say yes. Mm-hmm. So it's good. It's power knowing yourself.
But then you see, if you identify that there's a conflict between you and the person who's asking you to do these things, you need to go back further again and try and resolve that.
You do. But you still have the power of self-knowledge. And you can say then, look, am I being fair? You're not allowed not accede to things because you don't like the asker. And it's not good for your career. So it's much better to say, I'm going to do some of the things that Mary asked me because they are part of my job and I want to be helpful. But I'm going to say, if I'm being asked to do things outside of my role, it's very important to be able to say in a nice way, this is actually my role. And this comes up a lot or used to come up a lot for sure in bullying complaints, where you'd look back to see what was the start of this? How did this conflict start? And often it was to do with role, confusion, ambiguity. One person asked another person to do something. Person two acceded to do it this time. And then they're constantly asked and they feel aggrieved because they're asked. Neither party might know that they're doing something that the other person doesn't want to do.
So if you're the employee or in that situation, you become the yes person, you become the go-to person, the person who gets things done. You know, if you want something done, ask a busy person to do it. You've become that person, but you're increasingly unhappy about it.
Yeah, and you're building up. And the other party might not know at all. And they can easily say, well, you did do it last month. So really the person has got themselves into a little bit of a muddle then. And don't forget in the workplace, the people who are in the world, like the Trumps and the Vances and the, they're in the workplace too. So when I hear people eye rolling or see them eye rolling about Trumpian antics, I think, you know, there's one in every office, school, workplace, hospital. They're all over the place. And what they do is they ask people outrageous things. Or they expect outrageous things of people so that then thereafter they can go back in and ask something more reasonable and they're more likely to get it. Mm-hmm. It's anchoring.
But again, even in that situation, if you really are being taken advantage of, you need to still frame it in a way where you're saying, I can do this, this and this, but I think that person might be better at doing that part of this task.
You do. And you also need to be political, be psychopolitical, if you like. Just try to read it and think, that is such an unreasonable request of me. Sometimes it's better to do what they do in the political arena is just say nothing and ignore it and act like it's so outrageous that it doesn't require an answer and, you know, swan off. But if you then, oh, I didn't think you were serious. I wouldn't, no, that wouldn't be my role at all, Patricia. No, no. I mean, there's a team of people down in whatever department. I mean, I think you should talk to them. Oh, I thought you were just jesting. So mm-hmm. No. But I'll tell you what I'll do. It's always good to offer something. Reciprocity, it works. You offer something, then the person feels, I've gotten something. Can I go further? But you will find people, and it's a tactic in work, that people who will always over-ask of others to do their job. And therefore, I think you need to be quite severe there and say, I wouldn't be doing that. I'll be doing the other thing and I'll be doing this thing. And maybe that team down there might do that, but I wouldn't be doing that. Better than no.
I'd say this happens a lot when people move roles as well. You know, say you've worked in sales, you've moved to something like marketing and the sales manager keeps coming to you for information and help. And you've got to say, I've actually moved department completely now and you've got your own people to fulfill that
role. And you know, a good tactic for that would be because the people who the sales manager is now working with don't like that either. They don't like, why is he or she constantly going back to the person who's left? So a good tactic, again, would be reframing it. You know, you're with that team now. I don't want to undermine the person who's in my role now. So I think it's better because I don't want to undermine Una or Mick. So it might be better for you to ask them. I used to do X, but, you know, I'm going to leave it at that because I'm in this role now.
And is it much harder if you're very friendly with your manager? You've been there for 20 years.
People think it's easier because you can harder. Say it, but it's actually harder because you're kind of mixing two different relationship styles. But take the emotion out of it, I would say. Take the emotion out of it. Be severe enough to say, I'm not doing it, but I just would avoid using the word no. Again, just to reiterate, if it's anything inappropriate, and wouldn't we all love if in the past people could say no, and certainly in the past women couldn't say no. So anything inappropriate, you'd say a straight out no and make it heard. But the other subtle things, I think it's better to just reframe it and use different terminology. Mm-hmm.
Listeners getting in touch. This one, as a nurse, it's difficult to say no. And everyone talks about the kindness of the role of the nurse. So that person obviously feels it's an expectation on them to say it.
You know, there's a lot of role conflict among nurses. It's known in research because people go into nursing usually because it's caregiving and it's making a change and it's doing something for society. And to move on in nursing, sometimes you actually have to be more ruthless with budgets, management, people management and all the kind of strategic things. So that can be a big role conflict. Mm. And indeed, anybody who really cares about the end result of their job, sometimes moving on means you have to be a bit colder. So that's a lot
and
of role
And go against
conflict.
your nature, really, and the reasons why you went into that
exactly,
sector.
Exactly, yeah. And then you've got some role conflict. And really what managers or what we all would try to do in organisational life is make it such that people can still express those emotions they went into the job to do, but also engage in learning some of the skills and tactics to kind of develop their role and move on as well, because that's part of it.
Owen says, we were taught that a good no is better than a bad yes, and it has worked very well. People respect a direct and decisive response. What do you say to that? Because you have spoken about avoiding the word no.
Yeah. I mean, avoid just the word no. I still think you're saying, I can't do that, or that's not for me. Or I think this other team would be best placed to do that. Or I wouldn't like to undermine X and Y. Obviously, at the end, if you're not heard at the end of the day, you've always got to take out the no. Mm-hmm. But and again, your caller is probably correct for certain situations. There are certain situations where it is, if it's just so outrageous, where it is good. It's just if you use psychology, what psychology is trying to do is use what works with human nature. And what works with human nature is sometimes not to just think of yourself and how you really don't want to do this. Think, why don't I want to do it? Is it reasonable for me not to want to do it? Is it just my mood or, as I said earlier, the day, the person? And should I do it? Sometimes you have to do things you don't particularly like and declining isn't a good idea. But also then you think, OK, I'm going to try and let the person down gently because I need to keep a relationship with them. So I'll give them other offers. I'll give assistance. I'll offer who else might do it. I, you know, rather than just, no, and I don't care.
Yeah, probably not
think
a good
it, don't
way
say
to protect your work environment if you're at that. Thank you so much, Patricia, for coming in.
Thanks,
Patricia
Jane.
Murray, their workplace psychologist. We're going to take a break and back with news.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.